Good morning, and thanks for joining us today. This is Wednesday, January 22nd, 2020, and this is the Wednesday edition of The Morning Show. I'm Susie Prez.
And I'm your co-host over here, Chris Bessler. Good morning, Susie. How are you?
Good morning, Chris. I'm just fine. I was down here at 6:45 because Democracy Now! Didn't come in on its own, so I came down here and jostled it into the queue, and we got it on the air in time. 1 minute to spare.
So. Yeah. I tuned in not too long after that, and I heard it. So yeah, you were right on the spot.
Yep. Normally, I have screens at home where I can manipulate the station from home, but those are down right now, so I drove over. But the roads were kind of weird, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
Okay.
Why don't you tell us who our guests are, and then we'll do the weather.
Well, today we are talking about things going on in the Lake Pend'Oreille School District with Superintendent Tom Albertson. Tom, thanks for being here.
Thanks, Chris. Thanks, Susie.
As well as Andra Murray. She's the Director of Teaching and Learning for the district. Andra, thank you for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having us.
Yep, we're really happy to hear about the school district as we go into 2020. This is our January update with the school district. We're going to do this every year, folks. So thanks for being here. And, of course, we want to talk about the weather, and we will do that. From the National Weather Service, currently we're hearing that it's 34 degrees out, and we have a 40% chance of rain, snow, but the high today is 38. We're going to get into some high temperatures during the week. I think the highest one is Friday and Sunday, 42 high, and then the lows are above freezing. So I don't think so much snow down at the in the valley anyways. Probably up at Schweitzer there will be snow. The lows are 34, 38, 35 going into the weekend. And that's really all we can say about the weather, is it's very variable and not much wind, but a lot of precipitation.
Sounds like a wintry mix.
That's a good word for it, Chris.
A wintry mix, yeah. I'll tell you a few other things going on outside. The new moon is Friday, and as we kind of end up January here, there's some interesting things happening up in the night sky. If you look up before dawn to the southeast, you'll see Jupiter. Big bright star there. And then Mars is also rising before dawn and can be seen to the southeast as well. So some things to look for if the clouds part for us. Up at Schweitzer, they had, in the last 24 hours, they've had 6 inches of new snow. So some of the kind of rain stuff we're getting down here is falling as snow up there. They're showing that for the rest of this week, they're going to be getting a bunch of snow. Heavy snow on Thursday night, heavy snow again on Friday. So the parade of snowstorms continues for Schweitzer. Great skiing up there. It just came on so strong. Are you guys skiers?
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. It came on so strong the last about 10 days. In fact, Schweitzer said they had reported last, I think Thursday, I think, that in a 10-day period, they had received 7 feet of snow.
Wow.
Amazing.
Yeah. Pretty amazing.
That is amazing. Well, we are a ski town, so we see lots of happy faces walking around because skiing is great up there at Schweitzer. We'll do the Sandpoint City Minute unless you have something more about...
Let's hear what's going on in the...
I know we're about a month out from the solstice, so we're getting more sunny, more daylight.
Well, it's true. The days are getting longer. I didn't mention that. Over the course of the past week, we've gained 18 minutes of daylight per day as the days are getting longer, a little bit longer each week. So that's cool.
Yeah.
A little bit more bright out there.
I'll go with that always. So the Sandpoint City Minute. This is a little segment that we do to bring you a little bit of what's going on. The city has these public surveys, and the one that just came out is on community character and design, and this is to give the city a sense of what the citizens are thinking about our little community here in North Idaho. It's kind of a open town hall forum online, and you can go to Engage Sandpoint at www.sandpointidaho.gov. And you can go right to the survey, and I think it's really helpful. It gives you a way to be involved. And if you've been driving this morning off away from the surveys, and you know the roads are kind of interesting and difficult, maybe if you're on West Main, I barely made it down my street. You can also go to Engage Sandpoint. It's an interactive way to let the city know how you're feeling about different things, or you can find out information. And again, the surveys are all there so you can get involved, get engaged. Again, that's sandpointidaho.gov.
Yeah, that's going on within the city. And there's a couple other things I'd like to mention going on around town. As usual, there are a lot of events happening. One that's of note is this Saturday. It's a 6th annual Fatty Flurry Fest. It's for fat tire bikes, these bikes you see around, these really huge tires. If you're curious about that, this event is happening at Round Lake State Park on Saturday, and there's going to be a free bike, fat bike demo from 10 a.m. to noon. So you could go try one of these bikes out on the snow and see what you think. That's a cool event that's happening. And I'll mention there's a Sandpoint Lacrosse fundraiser happening today at Burger Express. There's also films, Jojo Rabbit showing at the Panada. There's a dinner concert at DeLuna's Cafe. There's going to be Winter Trails Day Saturday with free access to the cross-country and snowshoe trails at Schweitzer. So that, as usual, there's a lot going on in our town. You can get the complete schedule of events, things happening at our website, kfy.org, provided by Sandpoint Online.
And if you're listening to this interview this morning, the Wednesday morning show, and you can't hear the whole thing, we are recording it, and we will have it as a podcast on our website. Again, that's krfy.org later on in the morning, so you can hear it later if you want to know everything that's going on at the school district.
And with that, let's get into today's topic. Again, we have with us Tom Albertson, Superintendent of Schools for Lake Pend'Oreille School District, and Andra Murray, the Director of Teaching and Learning. Thank you both for being here.
Thank you for inviting us. It's nice to get caught up. We're at the semester time. We'll be finishing the semester this week, and it's a great time to talk about education in our community.
Yeah. So what are some of the things that happened? Now we're one semester in, right?
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah.
About, is this considered the halfway point?
It is.
Okay.
Correct.
Yeah. So what's gone on up to this point that's of note that you'd like your constituents to hear about?
Well, first of all, I think one of the commitments that the school district had, and I personally had, was increasing communication out to the community. And part of that will be, you'll find in your mailbox this week. So there is a flyer called Your Schools, and it's the winter edition. And this is following one that came out in the fall. So, you know, we're starting fairly small, and we're going to do it 3 times a year. But basically, so look forward to having that in your mailbox. And it's just a way to not just go out to parents, but to go out to all community members within the Lake Pend'Oreille School District zone. So I'm excited about that and to communicate about that. And, you know, today we can touch about that. I'd like to give kudos a little bit. You know, one thing in the winter months that's on everybody's mind is there going to be school or not school, you know, when we have these wintry days. And, you know, even this morning I was up at 4 a.m. On the phone with Transportation Director James Kaler, and I'd like to give a shout out to all our bus drivers and James for doing a great job getting our students to school safely. You know, I drove some roads this morning. Slushy, but we felt that our bus drivers and the size of the buses with the slush would be fine getting the kids to school. And so the decision was is that we're going to have school. But it's always in conjunction with the road crews that are out there, Bonner County, City, State, and they do a great job. And so throughout communication, things that happen at 3:30 or 4 in the morning that nobody knows about is really basing the decision. And we always try to make the decision, you know, by 5 a.m. I know it's a disruption to the families in the morning, so we really take that into consideration. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so in the flyer, this winter edition, you can read about what, in more detail, what the winter mornings are like and when we call school and when we don't. Mm.
I'm wondering, it sounds like safety is your biggest issue, and you really have a lot of things to look at to make that final decision. How do you get the word out to parents? I know most of the parents know, but I'm curious.
Yeah. We have an email bank. We have a phone bank through, we call it School Messenger, that goes out. We also, if parents want to receive a text, then they can sign up for a text message. Kelly Fisher, my assistant, just does an incredible job getting that out to radio, Spokane stations, TV stations. We also have a hotline that parents can call in. So there's a phone number to call in for them to also get that message. So we try to reach out as many different ways that we possibly can to get that message out.
Good job.
So how many snow days can you have before it affects the school year, really?
We try to build five in. Before we start having to look at state minimum minutes. And so when we hit that sixth day is when we need to start considering, do we need to add minutes to the day or how we would adjust the schedule for that.
And how many snow days have we had this year?
We've had two.
Okay. Oh, that's pretty good considering that big pile of snowstorms we had.
Right, yeah. We had one right before winter break, the last day before winter break, and then one last week.
Yeah. So, and it's not always just snow. Sometimes really cold or windy conditions can, because you don't want kids standing outside and being exposed that way.
Wind chill will have a factor, extreme cold. Are they safe waiting for the bus? Those are all things to consider. We haven't had that yet, but you know, we've lived here long enough. We know that we're going to get probably a cold snap.
Yeah. Well, I want a second year shout out to the road crews because those guys work real hard. And, you know, I live out in the county too, and I think they're doing a great job.
And I appreciate their collaboration with our transportation department. They communicate well. Mm-hmm. So,
just a little side, I was the administrator at the Waldorf School for 19 years, and we did the same thing, although I called you guys to find out what you were deciding before we decided what we were going to do, because you had the information.
Right.
And even your bus garage guy was my buddy, you know.
Yeah, so absolutely.
It was always kind of hard because we didn't have buses, but we still didn't want parents out on the road and kind of left it up to them to... Mm-hmm. Anyways, just a little thought there.
Yeah. We also communicate with West Bonner County and Boundary County too. The three of these three school districts are kind of in the same climate zone, I would say. You go a little bit south, it could be a lot different. I know there was one day last week where Boundary closed and West Bonner and Lake Pondere did not. Mm-hmm. But we felt that, again, safety is the most important factor, and can we get kids to school safely?
Mm-hmm. Okay, moving on to other topics. I want to ask you about some of the stories I see in the newsletter, the Your School's newsletter, but is there any other topics top of mind for you that you'd like to let people know about?
You know... I think it's a good opportunity for me to talk a little bit about the November 5th levy.
Okay.
I'll make a real quick statement there. You probably have seen the article in the Reader and also in the Daily Bee about the November 5th election on the continuous levy being contested. And so, obviously, the school district has made a decision that they're going to follow Idaho election law when an election is contested. And that's kind of in the process where we are right now. And really, Idaho election law says that any citizen can contest an election. They had 40 days to do that. And then at that point in time, if they file that complaint, then it will be heard in district court by a judge. And basically, we are prepared to hear from the judge and eagerly awaiting a ruling.
Mm-hmm.
And so with that said, again, we don't want that to distract our main work. You know, we really want to continue just focusing on educating students, maintaining our current quality of education and providing opportunities for students. And so, you know, though it is taking some time from the district, that is not going to be our main focus. We're focusing on educating students, and that's why I invited Andrea here today, because she's the director of teaching and learning, and we've got a lot of great things going on, and Andrea just leads the charge in teaching and learning with a couple instructional coaches, and we're doing great things. So.
Absolutely.
Andrea, over to you.
Well, it's absolutely a team approach. I feel thrilled and honored to work in the Lake Pondere School District. And one of the exciting things that constituents will see in their mailer is Southside Elementary is working on their STEAM certification. And that's an incredible opportunity and a rigorous process. So they have a few steps to go. They've been working for several years now on integrating STEAM, so science, technology, engineering, arts, and mathematics, and really just thinking about hands-on opportunities for students and real-world applications. So once a week, their students go in mixed age groups and can choose a hands-on opportunity. It could be anything from Lego robotics to plant science. And we want students to be engaged and loving school and also lifelong learners. And I think that's just a prime example of one offering we have for students. They've been pursuing certification for that process and are well on their way. And we're just thrilled for Southside Elementary.
Mm-hmm. And they actually did receive their certification, STEM. So yes, they are now a STEM school. And they went through a process where it's the same team that does all the school's accreditations. And they had an external team come in led by Dale Kleinert. The company has changed names. It used to be Advanced Ed, and it's an accreditation team. And that team came in and spent two full days going through the school and looking at their programs. And at the end of the day, it was a very rigorous process. And I met with them at the end, and they went through their findings. And so Southside is now a STEM certified school. I believe one of five schools in the state. Somewhere in there. Yeah.
And that visiting team interviews students, they talk to staff, they can talk to families. The school shows their curriculum, their plan for kids, their professional development. So again, it's rigorous and we're just thrilled for them. Along with that, they've been fundraising and writing some local grants and using school dollars to purchase a new curriculum and also a whole room that they call the Smart Lab. It comes with new technology, some computer upgrades, furniture, just a place for kids to collaborate and work on some of those STEM projects. So we know that will absolutely be a place where kids are engaged and loving school.
I think that's supposed to be up and running the first week of February.
Yes.
Well, congratulations. How exciting.
Thank you.
You mentioned one thing where the children work together in mixed ages. What do you see as some of the benefits to that?
We know collaboration for both students and adults has an incredible bang for the buck, that kids sometimes who may struggle in one area can be a leader in others. You often see that when students are mentoring cross-age peers. Also, sometimes a younger student might shine with something hands-on that they excel at. So we love, across all our schools, seeing those opportunities for kids to collaborate. And that definitely transfers into my world as director of teaching and learning, thinking about adult collaboration as well, because job satisfaction increases when people work in teams.
I know one of the things we were talking about before that we went on the air in my office was the fact that when teachers feel supported with mentoring and training, and that's all in your field, it can make a huge difference in not only their performance, but in how they feel about their jobs. And after all, our work is our life in so many ways. So how does the mentoring that you have set up, how does a teacher really receive that, and how does it make a difference?
Yes, thank you for asking. So in our school district, we offer a mentoring program for any staff member who is either new to the profession or just new to our district. So often we hire veteran teachers who may just be new to Idaho or new to Lake Pend'Oreille. So in the first 2 years, they're matched up with a mentor teacher who likely teaches their same subject, their same grade level at their level. And those mentors are their go-to people for logistics questions, teaching questions, and everything in between. So we know that satisfaction on the job increases when you work in a team, and hope that that's the first layer of support. In addition to that, the mentor-mentee team, we come together at the district office once a month for about an hour of professional learning together every month. We'll have a topic that we might work through: student engagement, hands-on learning, classroom management tips. But we also try to have time for them just to ask questions, collaborate, talk maybe with someone not in their building, and make, again, those professional connections. On top of that, we use some funding to allow every new staffer to LPOSD to go observe in other schools and other classrooms. Because as you mentioned, I think teaching is all about continuous improvement and continuous learning, and watching you do what you do may spark a brand new idea for me. So mentoring really has three layers in LPOSD, and on a small budget, I'm thrilled with what we can offer to staff.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like I say, in my 33 years of education at Lake Pendre School District, teaching in a silo is a thing of the past. You are teaching in grade level teams. You are highly collaborating, and you know, maybe for another show, or if there's time at the end, we can talk about our continued work on professional learning communities. Mm-hmm. But, that's a whole big topic and exciting for us in the future.
Mm-hmm. So I have a question. It's STEM, of course, science, technology, engineering, and mathematics. But I see it also referred to as STEAM, where there's an arts element added to it that gives you the A in STEAM. How does arts play in with these other disciplines?
Yes, so that's definitely a push at Southside. They do brand themselves as STEAM because we know arts integration and brain research really are tied. For many kids, that strand of the arts might be what connects them to school, but the brain research also shows that active engagement in the arts can increase student learning. So the way Southside is organized, it really is teachers sort of choose a passion or an interest or something they're skilled in, and they offer those classes to the students who might self-select. So art will certainly be integrated in what they offer. And a segue and a thank you related to the arts, you may have seen in the flyer that will go out, we're thrilled this year to be offering music back at Clark Fork, and that's through a partnership with our music conservatory, and some local grant funders have enabled us to add a section of music and performing arts choir out at Clark Fork. And again, that's just a new connection that has been so valuable for students to bring the arts, bring that piece into their education, and just increase the offerings we have for students.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One more question on Southside. So how did Southside how did the decision come for Southside to get involved in this STEM program?
I would say it was organically grown. It was collaborative within their staff. As you know, we're a unique school district, and we have a lot of rural schools. For our student population of over 3,800 students, we keep a lot of buildings open. And, you know, I can always beat the drum of saying why we need support through supplemental levies, and it's because we need to support keeping these rural schools open, and we think it's a great thing. But also with that becomes challenges. You know, Andrew talked about Clark Fork. We're talking about Southside. Those are our furthest outreach schools. The staff said, we want to be unique. We want to be the best in the state of Idaho. Mm-hmm. Just because we're, you know, out at Southside, out at Westman, out at Kerrywood, doesn't mean we can't be the very best elementary school in the state. And so I think, you know, and that was part of my time when this started, but being a principal at the time and, you know, being in meetings with Jackie Johnson, this really came from their staff coming together saying, this is exciting to us. This is what we think is best for our students. And we don't want to put any limitations to that. And, you know, to get the Smart Lab, it was a big undertaking. A lot of grant writing, a lot of donations, upwards of $100,000 was raised for them to provide this opportunity in a small rural elementary school. And like I said, being one of five STEM schools in the state. And so the question is, why not us instead of, oh, we can't? It's a can-do attitude with that staff out at Southside.
Mm-hmm. And a thank you should be said to Lynette Leonard, who started a lot of the early grant writing process for Southside. She had a vision, and we're watching it come true. It's just amazing for our learners.
It sounds like this can also be a model for other schools, maybe that excited. It's a big project they took on. So again, congratulations to them for seeing this is what we want. As you said, they're really want to be one of the best schools in the state of Idaho. And they're one in five right now that have this program. Add a lot of intention and energy to put it together. So, and what do you think other schools in the district will take it up to? Is there movement in that direction?
Each school, as you mentioned, sort of has a unique theme or staff talent that comes forth. Some are putting in a makerspace, saving for a 3D printer. I believe our whole system is thinking a lot about STEM. What do jobs in the future look like? What skills do our learners need to be competitive in college, career, life? So you'll see those hands-on opportunities and STEM opportunities really in all our schools. But I appreciate what Tom said. Every school has their flavor, their staff interests, their staff leadership. It may be an arts strand that you'll see at Northside, student performances, adding choir back at Clark Fork. So I love that we can be unique while still being a school district.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Yeah, and if you can turn kids on to science, technology, engineering, math, and they follow that through their school career, there are really great job opportunities out there in those fields, which is, of course, is one of the goals here. Right. So that's very cool.
I just want to remind our listeners that this is 88.5 KRFY, and we are here with the morning show with Chris and Susie. Our guests this morning are Lake Pend'Oreille School District Superintendent Tom Albertson and Andra Murray, Director of Teaching and Learning with the district. And this is exciting. I think school's fun. And just hearing about all the innovation and the excitement that is generated when a teacher is supported, they are interested. They have more energy. So that's kind of what we're talking about, too, besides the programs.
Well, we have more to talk about, but do you want to take a music break right now?
Everyone's nodding their head. Okay, well, I have a song queued up. This was, it's called It's a Wonderful World. Now, you may think that, who do you think wrote that song? It's someone that was born on this day in 1931. It's Sam Cooke, folks.
Oh, wow.
So I know. We looked it up, didn't we?
Yes. Andra.
So we're going to hear Sam Cooke with Wonderful World, and then we'll be right back. It's a short song, so stay with us. This is The Morning Show on our community radio, listener-supported, commercial-free community radio here in North Idaho. And this is Sam Cooke, Wonderful World. And that was Sam Cooke, Wonderful World. Not It's a Wonderful World, but appropriate for this morning here on The Morning Show, because we have the school district superintendent, Tom Albertson, and Andra Murray, from Learning and Teaching Director. And that was Sam Cooke. Happy birthday, Sam Cooke. He was born in 1931. So anyways, there you go. There are a couple things. We're talking about all the wonderful things our school district does. And let's just talk for a moment, because Chris will come in and ask that other question, but about CHAFE 150. CHAFE 150 is a bike ride here that happens in the summer, and all the money profits go to the school district. And I was seeing that Mitzi Hawkins sent out an email talking to you, Andra, about how that money made a difference. So why don't you just tell us what you, how you've used that those funds?
Absolutely. A huge thank you to CHAFE and Rotary for selecting this school district last year. And again, this year, our after-school programs and our literacy initiative, those are the main recipients of those funds. I know the ride is open for registration now, and I encourage everyone to sign up and ride. We have, as you mentioned, really supported our after-school programming and literacy. So to give you a flavor, right now we have over 180 students in after-school programs at three different sites. Those are open after school till 5:30 p.m. We do have a waiting list for those programs. Students are offered hands-on opportunities, homework help, cross-age tutoring, as you mentioned, working with buddies of other ages, social-emotional connections, and physical fitness. One of our parents actually just sent me a quote and said, "Thank you from the bottom of my heart, not only for the hands-on learning and the homework help, but to the staff of the after-school program for being role models for my children." And I thought that absolutely speaks to what we want to offer for kids. They're in a safe, nurturing environment, continuing those connections and their learning. So thanks to the CHAFE funding, we were able to add a position in our after-school program out at Southside. We've been able this school year alone to offer two rounds of professional development targeting literacy strategies for all of our teachers in kindergarten through second grade. We've been able to offer additional training in reading strategies for our special education staff, and we've been able to buy additional materials. So last year, we made huge gains in our reading data thanks to this funding, this focus, this training for our teachers. Our students entered the school district at around 50% proficient on an assessment given in Idaho, and they ended the year at 79% proficient. Our goal this year is to top 80%, absolutely. We want students leaving one grade level ready for the next. And we know primary literacy really is the key to their lives. If you can catch up and read on grade level by third grade, the trajectory for your success as a learner is much higher. So just a shout out to our primary staff for all they do to integrate literacy into those students' days. It's incredible. And that funding has allowed us to do many things that would not have otherwise occurred.
Yeah, reading is so important. That what the saying is, you first learn to read, and then after that, you read to learn. So if you don't master reading, then it's going to impair your entire career in school, in your entire life, actually. Yeah.
I'd just like to add that at the state level, Governor Little has championed also early childhood literacy. I'm hoping to see some movement in the legislative session in funding from the state for all-day kindergarten, whether that be voluntary. I understand the issues there. But if it were to be voluntary all-day kindergarten, so it would be an option for families that and right now state funds only half-day kindergarten, so we have to foot the bill when we do full-day, and it has to be from, you know, either a supplemental levy, or it's got to be from
grants,
CHAFE 150, PAFE. I mean, so we recognize that the importance of getting students ready. And there is a statewide trend that students are coming in to kindergarten maybe less prepared than we would like. And that's kind of a trend. And then we do make big gains from the hard work of our teachers and staff and, you know, Andra's team. But again, working on that, you know, pre-K, but then at least let's get K to be full time. Mm-hmm. So,
well, it's always good to have goals.
Absolutely.
Yes. And while we were listening to Sam Cooke and his wonderful song about learning, I said, what else do we want to talk about? We want to talk about what the money that CHAFE has given. And thanks again to CHAFE for their support of education in our community. And you also mentioned CTT?
CTE, Career CTE. Technical Education. Yeah, Chris had mentioned a little bit about, you know, a goal of having students become career and college ready. And when they move into secondary school, we have a very strong Career Technical Education program, and Alex Gray is our CTE director for the district. But I call this where they get to actually hands-on and where they get to apply the academics. And at this point in time, you know, we have CTE programs, culinary arts, and that's both at Sandpoint High School and the alternative high school. We've got welding, we've got information systems, we've got 3D design, we've got business. I'm missing some, I know. Ecology, environmental science, I think Mr. Hastings is got a CTE program in environmental science. So these are hands-on where we're also working to get students, more students out into the community to do internships. And, you know, answer that question, who am I and what opportunities are there in my own community as I'm starting to plan for adulthood? And that's a tough time. You know, it's a scary time transitioning away, and sometimes students don't know. And so partnering with the community to help students just kind of find out what opportunities are out there. So anyway, we have a very strong career technical education. I get asked a lot, can we increase trades? Absolutely, we do also have some introductory courses in intro to trades where students get some brief introduction to how to do concrete work, how to do framing, how to do electrical, how to do plumbing. And we're working with Mr. Gray is we're trying to find a way with local contractors to maybe make a second course, because we got the demand right now. We've got kids that are interested in that. So we're working on that.
Yeah, no question there's demand. Contractors, builders are really needing help. Right. And those are good livings you get out and get those kinds of jobs.
Right, right.
Well, when you're talking about hands-on experience for something out in the big world, we can talk about broadcast journalism, right?
There you go.
And we can say a shout-out to the teacher, the
Mr. Love,
Mr. Will Love, yeah. and Emmy Lynch and Connor yes. Bird. They have a show here on KRFY That's called correct. CP at 3. It's really good. People love it. And what I'm hearing is people really love the music. Connor really has a sense of music, mm-hmm. both the new stuff and the old stuff. He likes this whole big yeah. picture of music, but also keeping us informed of what's going on. But their hands-on experience in audio production and things like that is quite striking. And yeah. he is really doing a great job. That's Connor Bird. And Emmy Lynch yeah, with
very
the teacher.
Talented
young man
and
yeah. yeah he said it's going to be a little harder during baseball season because he's super into baseball
yes,
but yeah so a shout out to them for taking that on and letting KRFY be their broadcast station.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, you mentioned briefly a little bit about social emotional wellness. And I know there's an emphasis in the schools on that as well. Maybe you could address that and tell us what's going on with that sort of teaching.
Absolutely. So Dr. Joy Jansen, under her leadership and our school counselors, they have worked hard to add a social-emotional curriculum in this school district. And really, for listeners, that is teaching kids skills in the areas of self-confidence, refusing bullying, standing up for themselves, standing up for others. Again, when we talk about life skills, many of them start right there. So they, through some previous CHAFE funding, also worked hard on kind of the social-emotional side of what we offer the district. So we have a second step curriculum across our elementaries, different tools being used by sixth grade, and then really our sources of strength and connections groups at the secondary level.
Yeah.
You might talk more about
yeah.
that.
And Clark Fork High School, there's a program called the CORE Project. And
yes.
again, it's a curriculum that has lessons in there just about a wide range of anything social-emotional. And when we talk about that, it'd be maybe just even anxiety or stress of a homework load to, you know, when we think of social-emotional, we always go to the far extreme. But, you know, I think when we talk about it with students, it's just about normal daily life stresses. That come about, and how do you handle that? And, you know, you'd mentioned the mentor program at Sandpoint High School, and, you know, that's peers leading peers, and there's strength in that. We all know as parents that sometimes, you know, kids might tune us out, not saying my son ever did that to me, but, you know, I think peers, talking to peers about just the stresses of growing up is shown to be very, very effective.
Mm-hmm. And does anti-bullying programs fall under this as well?
Correct.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So how do you address that in the schools?
You know,
the problem with kids that are bullying or getting
right,
bullied.
Right. The biggest thing is sources of strength. And sources of strength usually has a, it's a wheel, and it's talking about community, and it's talking about where you would gather your strength. And a family, you know, whether you want to call it religion or spirituality, you know, I know in schools we have to be careful with separation of church and state, but, you know, really connecting to your families and how important your parents are to and talking to them. But also one of the big things, you know, sources of strength is kind of thought of as anti-suicide, but it's also just anti-bullying or anti-anything, because one of the big components is breaking the code of silence. And when something is happening that may be considered bullying, and other people stand up and be an upstander, not a bystander, and
yes.
that's kind of a term that we use at the high school level, is be an upstander, stand up when you see something that does not look right, and report that. And I would just say my 5 years at Sandpoint High School, we saw a great progress in you know, breaking the code of silence. And so when we know about it, and on our counseling staff and our parents and our school resource officers, and you know, can handle these things and do some mediation with that, you know, you get to it before it becomes too big of an issue.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not 100%, nothing's foolproof,
mm-hmm.
but there's just been some great work, and I'm very proud of the youth in our community for breaking that code of silence.
Mm-hmm.
And you hear a lot of times it's like, well, I knew about that, but I didn't really feel like I should say something. No,
mm-hmm.
you should say something.
Mm-hmm.
And so we've made great strides. And again, it's partnering within the community, You know, we have the Hope Walk funds, bringing in speakers to speak to students. So Jennifer Wyman and the Hope Walk that we do in September, you know, has funded that. Underground Kindness. I mean, we can go on and on and on about the community partnerships we have in helping our students in this community be, healthier.
It sounds like an ongoing effort to move forward with an environment of caring and kindness.
Absolutely.
Because it makes a difference in the learning environment.
You're right on. If students don't feel safe and connected, they're not going to learn. So I think Tom has done an incredible job of infusing that into our district strategic plan and really making that a priority, that for student learning to occur, they need to be connected, they need to be engaged and really feel supported.
Mm-hmm. We use the term intellectual safety because sometimes when we really think of safety, it's like, I don't even, maybe it's not even physical safety, but do I feel safe in this community of learners in this particular class that I can raise my hand and engage in conversation without ridicule, without somebody making me feel that my opinion is different than theirs, so I am less than. So that tolerance and acceptance. So, you know, I call that intellectual safety, and I think real growth starts to happen academically when a student can feel intellectually safe in an environment. And so we've talked to our teachers at the beginning of the year about that, and it's really that relationship they create in that classroom. Every period, if it's at the secondary level or all day long in the elementary level, is do those students feel part of that community of learners, and do they feel safe there? And when we walk through schools, I would say yes, they do. I mean, one of the big highlights for me is walking into first grade and kindergarten, and I have kids coming up and wanting to give me a hug. And the other day, I had a student ask me if I was a scientist because I had a tie on. I mean, so for me, it's been wonderful. That puts a smile.
You said,
on
"No,
my
I'm
face.
A mathematician.
I'm a mathematician. No, I'm not a scientist." But kudos go out to our principals in the building and the teachers for just creating that safe learning environment, and kids. When I walk into a room and I see kids with smiles on their face, I know good things are happening.
Mm-hmm. One more example and a thank you. You asked about social emotional support and sort of that anti-bullying awareness at elementary. It really looks like being inclusive. That's language we use, including others. Many of the lessons are about standing up for yourself, looking out for others. And a thank you again through Rotary, I believe the Rotaract Club. They're building some buddy benches, which we're instituting at many of our elementaries, already have them, and more are being added. That's just one example. At recess, a student can go sit on that bench if they're looking to play with someone new or try a new game or try a new activity. So our elementary students know, and our recess duty staff, who do an incredible job managing recess, by the way, they are trained to sort of look out for someone who might be sitting on that bench and go over and say, "I'm about to start Foursquare. Would you like to join me?" Mm-hmm. And I sure wish I had that as an elementary child. And I think just that notion of looking out for others will serve all of us well.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like, again, an environment where a student could say, "I'm feeling lonely," or "I don't know what to do. I'm new here." But they know that it's a safe space to go over to that buddy bench. Yeah. What a great idea. Yeah. And the adults in the area can help facilitate a connection.
Absolutely.
And a lot of times that connection can make all the difference for the rest of their day even.
Yes.
Yeah, that's a learned skill for kids too. Just, looking out for other kids and thinking about inviting them to partake. They need to kind of learn to acquire those skills too and become Correct. Comfortable with that. Yeah. So a lot of kids are really shy in school.
Yes.
Yeah. So that's a hard thing for them to start with. But once they do it a few times, they find out, hey, it's really kind of cool.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, my second grade grandson at Northside, was telling me about his sixth grade reading buddy.
Yes.
So that program. And, he just was by name, and he's looking up to his sixth grader, and he's a second grader. And so, within all our schools, we have those type of programs.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Albertson, you've now been at the helm for what? Eight months.
Yeah. Who's counting?
So what are your insights now into the position of school superintendent?
I'm enjoying the job. It's great people I get to work with. You know, sometimes if you stop to think about how much there's going on and how big it is, you're going, wow, this is a pretty comprehensive job. But really, it's one step at a time. And, you know, when I get to work with great people like Andra and I can delegate the teaching and learning part, you know, I find my time is spent more on focus on what's happening in Boise, legislation. You know, we are going through this, you know, levy contest. I mean, those are some things that take me away from classrooms and teaching and learning. But we are in great hands with Andra in that situation, you know, understanding everything about transportation and buses, and you know, we're just going to be starting into the budgeting season, and so you know, when we start to budget for next year, that it's going to be interesting because again, eyes on Boise, because we directly are connected to what happens in legislation there, and you know, we know that. Part of how schools are funded has been shifted onto the local taxpayers. And that's not
property owners specifically.
Specifically. And that is not unique to Lake Pendre School District. This is a statewide issue that I think, you know, if you follow the state legislation, it's going to be a topic. I don't know what's going to come out. Usually we have a little bit of a clearer picture. You know, one of the positives is Governor Little is a champion for education, and he wants to be known as the education governor, and has some very good proposals, whether or not there'll be funding to implement what he would like to implement, we will see. You know, also, you know, a local citizen of Senator Sean Keel is now on the State Board of Education. So that's always nice to have a friend in that position. And so I think the citizens here, you know, should feel well represented, you know, with our Senator, you know, Jim Woodward and Sage Dixon, you know, very much open to being able to have conversations with them. So, you know.
Yeah, and I'll throw in that our citizens should feel, you know, like they can get in touch with their senators and their representatives and let them know what they think and give them their point of view on
right.
the importance of education.
Right, yeah. So, again, we're in a little bit of a wait and see what happens. You know, the state's taking some time right now debating standards. Academic standards, ELA, math, and science will be coming up. And so, you know, again, that could be a whole nother show.
Yeah, it's always.
Well, when you're working with children, it does put a smile on your face because they are there hoping to learn and you're helping to facilitate it. It's complex, it's comprehensive. But as you say, take it a step at a time and look at the big picture. Coming up will be new hiring in the spring and things like that. But it's, I just have to take my hat off to both of you for the incredible work you're doing on behalf of our children here in the area.
And I think there is I can speak for myself, personal philosophy, and for the school district and the school board, because we have a great school board. In that when we make financial decisions, we're looking at the impact in the classroom. So how is it affecting the student in that classroom? And that's where we need to be as efficient with our dollars as possible, impacting learning.
And you mentioned school board. So I'll throw out there that the school board meetings are always open.
They are.
And they're held every month.
Second Tuesday at 5 o'clock at the Pendre Event Center. And then some months there's a second meeting, which would be on the fourth Tuesday.
And next one, I believe, is February 11th.
Actually, we do have one January 28th.
Oh, you do? Okay.
We did put a second one in January.
I see. Okay.
So we do have one Tuesday, January 28th.
Okay.
And you're correct, Chris. Any patron could walk in and sign up to make public comment. So there's always a sign-in sheet right at the front door, along with cookies. So join us at a school board meeting. Yeah. Please. Right.
Cookies. Yeah. There you go. That'll get folks in there.
So I want to thank both of you for coming in, Superintendent Tom Albertson and Director of Teaching and Learning, Andra Murray, bravo, and thank you for the hard work you're doing, and thanks for giving us an update. We'll probably hear from you in the spring, late spring, to see how everything's going. And we're going to hear, so thank you very much for coming
yes,
in.
Thank you for having us.
Our pleasure.
And your work. We're going to hear a little bit of a song, and then we'll come back with some events information. This is the Beach Boys' Be True to Your School. We probably won't hear the whole song, but we'll hear part of it. And this is the morning show. Thank you. That was the Beach Boys, Be True to Your School. And we just interviewed Superintendent Tom Albertson and Andra Murray from the school district. She's the director of learning and teaching. So if you did not get to hear it all, you can tune in to our website, krfy.org, and it will be a podcast under podcast later in the morning. What else do we have going on? Oh, the morning show tomorrow. Jim and Jack will be visiting with Beth Weber from the festival at Sandpoint, who will be talking about the Chamber Concert Series. And next week, Chris, we're going to be visiting with Friends of Scotchman Peak because it's their 15th anniversary. And they have all kinds of things they want to tell us about.
They're very active. There's all kinds of winter hikes and activities that folks can take part in.
Right.
And of course, there's a ton of other things going on around town. I mentioned at the start of the show that the 6th annual Fatty Flurry Fest, it's a fat tire bike event. It's this Saturday at Round Lake State Park, and that you can actually do a free fat bike demo from 10 a.m. to noon. And there's all kinds of other stuff going on there, so you might want to check that out. That's, again, this Saturday at Round Lake State Park. Tonight, there's a bike movie night. It's at Greasy Fingers on Pine Street in town. They're held on Wednesday nights in January at 6 p.m. And it's free and always fun, it says right here. The Little Theater is hosting on the 23rd through the 26th screenings of the Oscar-nominated film Jojo Rabbit. Excuse me, the Little Theater is having Oscar-nominated film The Lighthouse, and then the main theater is going to have Jojo Rabbit, the panda. So there's a lot of film going on.
Right. We're coming up to the Oscars, too.
Yeah, yeah. So if you want to, you know, kind of be in the know on what some of those Oscar-nominated films are, catch those. What else is going on? You know, it's funny. You think it's kind of quiet. It's winter, but then you take a look at the events calendar and there's like a dozen things happening here. Here's an interesting one. On Sunday, that's Piano Sunday at the Pondere Winery, and the local favorite pianist Dwayne Parsons will be playing from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. And you can just pop in and catch some live piano music.
Well, that's interesting. Also on the 24th, DeLuna's Cafe is having a duo. And I actually had them here in the studio and interviewed them. They're Tom and Coley. It's a concert. They're really good musicians. So you can call. What can you do there?
It's at 7:30 p.m. on the 24th, which is Friday, this Friday. At DeLuna's, which is 207 Cedar Street. And these guys have won a bunch of awards. They won the People's Choice Award for Duel of the Year.
They're really good songwriters and just top professional. I think they spent a lot of time in Nashville. You can call 208-263-0846 for more information on tickets or dinner reservations .
And, of course, there's a ton of live music happening on this Friday. Idaho Poor Authority is having live music with the Locals. So they're playing a mix of country, rock, and blues.
Is that a local band?
The name indicates that, yes. The Pondere Winery has music also on Friday, live music with Mike Wagoner and Utah John. That's folk, Americana, and rock music. Matchwood Brewing is having live music from 5:30 to 8:30 on Friday with Spring Tonic. So tons of music happening.
Yeah, and those calendars are available at Sandpoint Online and krfy.org. And we're about out of time, Chris. We hope everyone has a beautiful day. And thanks for listening to our community radio station. We're going to go out with a song by Iris DeMint called Let the Mystery Be. And have a great day.
Bye now.